Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the 4th of July weekend, 2021. This week's sermon title is, What Will You Do With Freedom? By lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
Welcome to our online service here at New Hope Christian Church on this July 4th weekend. I want to start by first thanking everybody for your prayers over the last couple of weeks. Temperature has gone away, the energy level is back, but there's a little recurring cough once in a while, so bear with me if I cough during this message. My wife has always made a big deal out of our kids' birthday celebrations when they were growing up. And that meant four times every year there was a party with a cake and ice cream at our house and maybe a sleepover. Or maybe they ate pizza at Happy Joe's or Godfather's with a sleepover. Maybe they went bowling or played laser tag or something similar. And you know, 20 to 30 years later, our kids still remember some of those birthday celebrations. I mean, their mom made a big deal about our children's place in our lives and the fact that they were growing older. And as a result, our daughter now has followed in her mother's footsteps and celebrates her children's birthdays as religiously and passionately as did her mom. And I'm certain there are many others here who do the same thing. God bless each and every one of you who do. So imagine with me, if you will, sending out invitations to our five-year-old child's birthday party, playing games, giving out prizes, opening gifts, eating your child's favorite meal, topping it off with some cake and ice cream, and then to complete the event, giving the guests an opportunity to share what they don't like about the birthday boy or girl. I know, right? I've never been to a birthday party where that was done, not even my own. 245 years ago, on this day, in 1776, delegates to the Second Continental Congress declared the 13 colonies they represented as free and independent sovereign states. Church bells rang throughout Philadelphia, and the first step was taken in forming the United States of America. Today is our nation's birthday. While most empires throughout history have actively expanded their power, their influence, their prosperity by conquering and enslaving smaller nations, though we're not perfect, America has been an example of liberty and freedom many other countries have attempted to imitate. In our nation's history, millions have traveled to America to enjoy the freedoms we possess here that were not available in the countries from which they came. Nevertheless, we're living in a day when unhappy people use whatever platform they have to shout out what they don't like about this great nation. These successful, prosperous athletes, politicians, musicians, entertainers, journalists, newscasters, professors, and more prefer to point out America's shortcomings instead of America's many great accomplishments. And at the same time, those of us who feel blessed by God to enjoy our unprecedented liberties and freedoms and prosperity are often misrepresented, marginalized, minimized, and demonized as being evil. Jesus told those who would follow him to prioritize developing a relationship with him and the expanding of his kingdom here on earth above everything else. Which is to say then, it's not a sin to love Jesus Christ with all of our heart and love the country he has blessed us to live in at the same time. It's not wrong to celebrate the blessings enjoyed in America precisely because of our Christian faith that aren't enjoyed in other countries around the world. Jesus simply told us not to place anything or anyone above our loyalty to him. And so I want to celebrate our nation's 245th birthday as the United States of America. I want to celebrate why we've been blessed, the purpose for our blessings, and what we must do to once again receive the favor of God's hand upon America. So the first thing we're going to look at today is the uniqueness of our birth. Michael Moore is a filmmaker, author, and a left-wing activist. He has described socialism as a combination of democracy and Christianity. Moore has also stated it is arrogant for us to sing or to ask, pray that God would bless America. Moore contends that no one has the right to ask God to bless others, including a nation, because God loves all the people of the world. What Moore fails to acknowledge are the many promises of God throughout the Bible to bless individuals, bless families, bless schools, bless businesses, and yes, even bless nations who will follow him, obey him, and trust him. Those promises were initially given to the nation of Israel, but they have been extended to any nation or individual whose God is the Lord. And while the godless among us rewrite American history and leave out the uniqueness of our nation's birth, the facts are America was founded on the principles of God's word. The pilgrims who landed on our nation's shores in the early 1600s came with the specific intent of establishing a country whose citizens were subservient to God and not to human beings or government. Their governor, William Bradford, called them pilgrims, citing Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, which reads, "They knew they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but they desired a better country, a heavenly country where God is not ashamed to be called by them as their God." In fact, the Mayflower Compact of 1620 states their primary purpose was, and I quote, "to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God." The second sentence in the Declaration of Independence is composed of only 35 words, and yet it has been called one of the most well-crafted sentences in the history of the English language. It is considered by many to be the most potent and consequential words in American history. It reads like this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now the writers said these truths are obvious to anybody and everybody. They said people are all given the same rights by God and people are all seen as equally valuable by God. That last sentence of the Declaration reads, and I quote, "With a firm reliance upon the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Did you know of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 27 had Bible degrees from seminaries? William Penn founded the colony of Pennsylvania, and in his writings said it was necessary that, quote, all treasurers, judges, and elected officials must profess faith in Christ. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. In 1782, the United States Congress voted in favor of a resolution recommending and approving the Bible for use in education. Patrick Henry was the first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress. He wrote, and I quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religious people, but by Christians, and not on various religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." I remember growing up having various dreams about my future. I suspect we all did, and sometimes still do have dreams about the future. I remember having dreams about marriage and what that would be like, dreams about having children and how I would go about that important task, dreams of being a professional athlete, and dreams of being a policeman or a fireman, and the list goes on. I mean, many people have dreams about marriage or their family or career or a business, what it might look like, what the church should look like or be. Scripture tells us that God is the one who often plants those dreams inside of us as a means of turning those dreams into realities. Martin Luther King shared his dream that one day his children be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. It's no coincidence, it's not an accident, that God placed within the hearts and the minds of countless numbers of people some 200 to 400 years ago, a nation they could live in whose God is the Lord, a nation governed by the Judeo-Christian values as found in the Word of God. In fact, in 1973, political science professors at the University of Houston spent 10 years researching the documents and quotes of our founding fathers. They identified 3,154 quotes that had a significant impact on the founding of America. These political science professors at a secular university discovered that 34% of those quotes were directly from the Bible. And another 60% of the quotes came from men who were using the Bible to make their conclusions. In other words, these college researchers concluded that 94% of the most significant quotes related to the founding of America had the origins in the Bible. When Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a highly respected leader of the Jewish Sanhedrin, was able to visit one-on-one with Jesus, our Lord shared with him a truth that every human being has to hear. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, Jesus' statement prompted a question from Nicodemus. How can someone who is old be born a second time? And here was Jesus' reply. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I'm not talking about a physical rebirth, but a spiritual rebirth. Jesus said that while we can feel the wind and we can see the effects of the wind on things around us, we can't actually see the wind itself. And likewise, he said, we can't see the Holy Spirit. We can only see the effects of the Holy Spirit. I'm not even exactly sure how it all happened, but I know that my life used to be dedicated to me, to my selfish wants, to what I wanted for my life. And now my life is dedicated to bringing glory to God, to serving others in His name. And the only thing between what my life was like then and what my life is like now, the only thing between those two is Jesus. Born again men and women make better husbands and better wives, better fathers and better mothers. Born again people make better employers and better employees. And born again believers are much, much better. I'm not saying perfect, but they are much better at governing a school, a city, a county, a state, and even a nation than those who haven't been born again. Are we perfect? No. But born again believers in Jesus Christ answer to a higher ruler, and generally speaking, are concerned more with serving others than they are serving themselves. Unbelievers can deny all they want the Christian heritage and roots of this great country, but the truth is, the United States of America is the only nation that I am aware of which was founded and governed by born-again Christians. And any serious, honest student of history will discover that to be the truth. So the United States has a very unique beginning and birth that resulted in blessings from God beyond what any of us deserve. So the natural question is, why? Why did God both birth and bless America? Let's look at the purpose of our privilege. In 1995, a movie entitled Braveheart, Mel Gibson plays the role of William Wallace. In a plot that preceded the American Revolutionary War by some 300 years, Wallace prepares this ragtag band of rebels to fight against a larger, better equipped English army. And Wallace says to the Scottish warriors, "I see an army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You have come as free men. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?" And one of the men there in the front spoke for many when he said, "Fight against that?" as he pointed at the English army. "No, we will run and we will live." And Wallace replied, "Aye, fight and you may die. Run and you will live, at least for a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all of the days from this day to that one for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom?" We have been given a tremendous gift by those who have bravely fought for 250 years to purchase our freedom, to retain our freedom. William Wallace might just as well be asking those of us living in America in the year 2021, what will we do today with our freedom? The Lord's promise and purpose to Abram some 2,000 plus years before the time of Christ is still applicable to my life and to your life today. God said to Abram, "I will bless you. I will make you famous. So that, here's the reason I'm going to do that. So that you may be a blessing to others. 1300 years later, 13 centuries later, still 700 years before the time of Jesus Christ, God reminded the Jewish people, I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So when Jesus was born 700 years later, the prophet Simeon took this infant Jesus into his arms, and Simeon said, I have now seen your salvation, Lord, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. A few years later, when Paul and Barnabas left on their first missionary tour, they took the good news about Jesus first to the Gentile or Jews. And when many Jews rejected Jesus, then Paul and Barnabas took the light of God, who is Jesus, to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. While he was still alive, Jesus said, while I am in this world, I am the light of the world. But he wanted his followers to know that when Jesus left this world, it would be our responsibility to be the light of the world. My point is this. Every American Christian has both the privilege and the purpose or the responsibility of taking the light of Christ's freedom from our sin and our American freedom from tyranny into every dark place God calls us to do ministry. That may involve, for some, doing mission work in a third world country or a country void of the gospel. It may also involve standing up for the truth in our country, at church, in schools, in government, at work, or even in our private conversations. Or it may involve being the light and the love of Jesus for some hurting, lost, and lonely individual. Our privileged status as believers living in the light of Jesus and in the freedom of America carries with it the purpose or responsibility of sharing that light and freedom with others. The population of the United States represents about 5% of the entire world's population. And of the 333 plus million people living in America, I see myself, and you, many of you should too, as being amongst the most blessed even in America. Blessed by my family, blessed by my church family, blessed by my health, blessed by my standard of living, blessed by my relationship with Jesus, and the list goes on and on. So why does God privilege me, and why does God privilege us so much in America, or anywhere else for that matter? Well, it's always been so that those who have been blessed by God will be a blessing to others. So that those who have experienced the light and the love of God will share God's light and love with others. I want to close then with a look at the source of our survival. You see, the psalmist promised us some 1,000 years before the time of Christ, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. That promise still holds true today for any nation, any group of people, any individual. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is that nation that blesses Israel. Blessed is that organization whose God is the Lord. That church, that business, that individual. Blessed are those whose God is the Lord. President Abraham Lincoln uttered these prophetic words some 160 years ago. I quote, We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have instead vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of God's redeeming, preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God who made us. That was 160 years ago. Those words still ring true today. If there is anything systemic in our society today, it is the systemic removal of Jesus Christ from our history books, from our churches, from our businesses, from our schools, our halls of government, and more, while at the same time promoting the religions of Islam or humanism and much more. We have entered into a mother's womb to remove her baby today, and we call it a personal choice. We've replaced obedience to Jesus Christ with a just simple acceptance and agreement of Jesus Christ. And through the prophet Isaiah, God has said, sorrow awaits those who think themselves wise in their own eyes, who say that evil is good and good is evil, who argue that dark is light and light is dark. I'm telling you, the time has come for us to return to the God of Abraham and Moses and David and Deborah and George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, Ann Graham Lotz, and more. Unless the Lord builds the nation, those who build it labor in vain. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, all things hold together. We can do all things through Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ. What more do I need to say? If Jesus Christ is for us, who can be against us? The source of our survival as individuals, as families, as a nation, is also the source of our revival, and that is Jesus Christ. On December 17th, of 1927, the crew of a Navy submarine was trolling beneath the waters of Cape Cod Bay, while at the same time, a Coast Guard boat was trolling on the surface of the waters. As the submarine broke the surface, the Coast Guard boat ran across it. The sub came to rest more than 100 feet below on the ocean floor. Rescue attempts began immediately, but they were kind of meager in 1927, somewhat limited, if you will. Due to stormy conditions, it was 24 hours before the first diver was able to descend to the wreckage. As soon as his steel boot hit the hull, he heard tapping from inside the submarine. There were 6 survivors out of the 40 crewmen who had been on that submarine. The weather would not cooperate, and every attempt at saving those 6 failed. As their air supply was dwindling, the survivors at that time anyway tapped a haunting question in Morse code. Is there any hope? Many are asking the same thing about our great nation today. Is there any hope for America? My answer is this: yes. If we pray daily that God would forgive us of our sins. If we pray daily that God would expose and punish evil while restoring and renewing righteousness in our country. My answer is yes, there is hope. If we pray daily that God would draw each of us into a dynamic, closer relationship with Him. My answer is yes, there is hope if we pray daily for the salvation of those we know need a relationship with the Lord. My answer is this, yes, there is hope if we pray daily that God would open up doors for us to speak with those who are hungry and thirsty for Him and open our ears to hear their story, open our hearts to become involved in their healing. The Prime Minister of Great Britain, Winston Churchill, was comparing democracy with other forms of government. Democracy, he said, is the worst form of government, with the exception of all the other forms of government. Do we have issues? Do we have problems needing to be addressed in America today? Absolutely. We have paid dearly for the price of our many sins. New estimates are that upwards of 750,000 people died in America in a civil war to bring an end to slavery. And yet, America has sent more humanitarian aid to countries devastated by natural disasters than any other country. America has rebuilt many of the nations that once threatened to destroy our freedoms. America has become the home of millions of immigrants from around the world. And America has sent Christian missionaries with the good news of Christ's salvation to many parts of the world. We have a lot to be proud of. So on our nation's 245th birthday, I want to ask that God would bless the USA. Let's pray. Our eternal Father in heaven, we thank you so many times, Lord, for the blessings that we have received as a nation, the blessings we have received as individuals and as families, as churches, because, Lord, you saw within us a desire to serve you. Even though we did not deserve those blessings, we say thank you. And pray, God, that we who have been blessed might now be a blessing to others. That, God, you would use the tremendous privilege that we have here in America to now reach out with that same good news to those who have yet to find it. Thank you that we live in America. Thank you for those whose bravery far exceeded anything we can comprehend, a bravery that resulted in our winning and receiving our freedom, as well as those who have given their lives retaining that freedom in the 245 years since then. Thank you, God. And may we be about the task of taking our freedom and sharing it with others. Our freedom in Christ from sins, our freedom from tyranny as those who are free in America. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you safe. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and merciful and compassionate toward you. May the Lord's hand of favor be extended toward you as he gives you his peace. And may God bless the great nation of the United States of America. Let us, as Christians, go forth armed with God's blessing in order to be a blessing to others. Let us, the Church of Jesus Christ, imitate Christ wherever he calls us, wherever he places us to do life. Thank you for joining us on our service this Independence Day weekend.